I'd ask you to go with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. They please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Father, we pray, meet with us this morning, speak to our hearts and guide us. I pray, Lord, that you'd get honor and glory for all that is said and done here today. And we ask this in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Story from India is a parable. It tells the story of two little frogs that made their way into a dairy one day. As they were playing around in the equipment on the dairy, they found themselves falling, both of them, into a bucket of milk. They swam around in the milk until they realized they wanted free. One of the little frogs struggled and began to jump and try to get out of the milk, wanted free from the milk, and kept jumping and kept jumping, and nothing was happening. The other little frog decided that it may not be able to jump out of the milk, but it sure could strive. So the story says that his little legs began to kick, and he kicked his legs as hard as he could kick and kick and kick and kick until finally the milk started to change shape. Its consistency began to harden. And finally, that little frog formed a little pile of butter, jumped from the butter out of the bucket. I don't even have a point for that. I just like telling that story. A cool, stinking story. Truthfully, many times we need to endure, to continue on. The little frog in the milk is many times us. We kick and kick and kick, and even when we have no results for it, and even when we can't show anything for all of the work and all of the labor and all the time, just trusting that if you kick long enough, change begins to happen. That if you just keep kicking, something of value will emerge, something that will set you free. This last month, we've been dealing with this subject that we are expecting. We're expecting something from God. We're expecting God to do something for South Knollwood Baptist Church. We're expecting that God will allow us to plant a church. We're expecting. What happens when we expect something? This series has really been diving into what Paul was trying to teach the church in Thessalonica, not about church planting in all those other churches. Rather, Paul was telling the story of how their church was planted, of how that particular ministry became a ministry. It wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for Paul approaching the church in a certain way. And I believe from that we begin to understand how we can be, what we can expect when we're expecting. How you and I can watch God do something and what we expect from God as a result. Can I tell you that I want our church to plant a church in Leawood, Kansas this fall? And for the most part, I look at a congregation who is right behind that vision. I mean, we want to see God put a church in Leawood. I really do. I believe that. When I look at South Knollwood Baptist Church, we have a heart for it. We want to see God do it. My goodness, that'd be great. It's a healthy, normal, natural thing for a church to plant a healthy, normal, natural church. It's just a normal thing. We expect it to happen, and we can expect as a church that God is not going to just do it once, but he's going to do it multiple times. Listen to me, church. Let's not get a short-term vision here. Let's not just say, hey, we're excited about Leawood. Let's just say, hey, it's awesome to watch God want to duplicate South Knollwood. I mean, honestly, God usually doesn't want to duplicate broken stuff, right? That's called mutation, and it's usually kicked out. But God wants to duplicate South Knollwood. He wants to make it happen again. Whatever's happening in Knollwood is going to be helpful in Leawood, and I'm grateful that God has brought our church to a place where something normal, natural, and healthy can take place in just our arm's reach. And my prayer is not just Leawood. Can I be honest with you? As your pastor, every time we talk about Leawood, and we're getting closer and closer and closer to Leawood, Brother Keith and I are already praying, God, what's next? God, we want Leawood, and we're not going to be done. We still want more. We want God to give us more, because if we do, I believe God will give us more. I believe that God will let us see souls saved all through the city of Leawood. I believe there will be a church planted there. I believe that church is going to be a thriving group of believers who, as God disciples them, will not just be sitting there in Leawood doing nothing, but they will be partners for South Knollwood. And the next time we start talking about planting a church, we're going to be talking about, hey, how can Leawood and Knollwood merge together to make a church happen? And now as partners, we're going to watch God plant churches all over the place. And guess what happens with that one? They now partner with us, and the one after that partners with us, and the one after that partners with us. And now we're sending out church planters from those little churches that we've planted. You see, it's a normal, natural, healthy thing for us to expect God to do something through the power of the local New Testament church. It's normal. It's natural. It's healthy for our church to expect something like this from God. But do you know what our expectations really are calling for? When we begin to look at the expectations we have for Leawood, what we're asking God to do is, God, build something that will endure. Build something that will last. You see, John, he asked a prayer, a very simple idea, but one that I've clung to for many years. But John in John 15, 16 said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Of course, this is the words of our Savior, "that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should," can you fill in the word? "Remain." You see, Jesus' vision for South Knollwood is not just that we plant a church, but that we plant a church that lasts. That we plant a church that's going to be there for a long time. We plant a church that's going to endure. Can I tell you, we expect God to not just plant a work, but to plant a work that endures. You see, if a church expects that, if we as South Knollwood expect them to endure, I want to ask you, what is it we're asking them to endure? We are building a church in Leawood, and our expectation is that that work is going to endure hardship. We want a church that's going to endure hardship. Can I be honest with you? That church in Leawood, it's not going to be the easiest thing that's ever happened. I promise you that. It's going to be hard. By the way, Jesus promised us that if you'll live righteously and godly in this present world, you shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. It's a promise from God. If we try to do one thing for God, Satan is going to fight it. We should expect hardships, not even just hardships from Satan, just hardships in general. Life, by the way, is not easy. It's not meant to be. I don't think we got in this to find out how easy we could make it. Life stinks. I love the words of my mom. Life is hard. Then you get to the end and die. That was my mom's motto. Mom, I don't like it because it's not easy. I don't like it. It's so hard. My mom would say, life's tough. Then you die. Like, it's a reward for living a hard life. You get to the end. Now you die. That was the plan. That's God's plan the whole time. Life will be hard. It is the goal of life to be difficult. And the question is, can this church, can that little church in Leawood endure through hardship? Can it make it even when life gets difficult? Can they make it even when those believers, young as they will be before Christ, brand new believers, will they be able to make it when family ostracizes them? Will they be able to make it when those friends who at one time loved them and cared for them, now because Jesus is in the way, they begin to push away a little bit. How many of y'all have ever had to give up a friend or give up a relationship because of Jesus? My goodness, some of y'all have had to do it. You know what that's like. And Jesus didn't fit into the relationship anymore. And you'd already made your stand with Christ. And so because of that, you had to pull back. They pulled away. And that friendship that was so close to you, it really began to separate you. The question will be, can they endure that hardship? Will they be able to make it? Will they be able to make it when South Knollwood and our partnering churches aren't the ones taking care of the bills and we begin to pull back and those partnering churches begin to pull back and now that little church, that little congregation who just learned to tithe and just learned to give to missions now, that church is theirs to support. Now they have to financially carry it and they have to give and they have to find Sunday school teachers of their own and they have to find somebody to lead the music on their own and now that church has to provide for itself. That's what healthy bodies do. They begin to build up among themselves leaders and those who can take the reins and make the ministry happen. And our question is, can that church make it through the hardship of having to come up with the finances, the hardship of having to come up with the leaders? Is it going to happen? Are they going to make it through that time? We're going to want them to endure. How do we know that the churches endure? Well, we know this church will go through hardship because, frankly, other churches have suffered. We know suffering is part of church life. How do you know? Because it's happened other places. We look at it happen. By the way, church planting is not a walk in the park. And there are church planters struggling all over our country. There are churches who are fledgling and trying to make it happen. And week after week after week, they're trusting God to do something. And we watch them, those churches endure. You say, Pastor, how are you so sure that the church in Leawood can endure? I know they can endure because other churches have endured. I know that God will bring the church through hardship. How do you know that? Because he did it for Knollwood. He's done it for our church. He did it for the church in Shawnee. He did it for the church. We can look all over Kansas City and we find churches in Olathe and we find churches in Paola. We can find churches all over the place. And God helped them through. God carried them through. How can a church in Leawood make it when all the others struggled? The same God who carried those other churches through will carry this one through. We expect them to endure hardship because other churches went through. And by the way, isn't that what Paul says? Look with me in chapter 2 and verse number 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which are in Judea, in Christ. For ye also have suffered like things. In other words, he was saying to this congregation in Thessalonica, which was not a church made of Jews, it was a church made of Gentiles. He said, you know what? You guys are a lot like the churches of the Hebrews. All those Israelites, all those Jewish people who have converted to Jesus Christ, you're going through the same thing they're going through. You guys have followed their example. You're going through it too. How? Well, in those Jewish churches, the churches in Jerusalem, were going under persecution because of the Jewish leaders. Because the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, hated to see the church do well. And so they begin to attack the church. He even tells the story right here in verse number 15. He's telling the story about these Jewish churches going through hardship, and he's saying to this Greek church, Roman church, he's saying to them, listen, you're going through the same thing the Jewish church is going through. And by the way, the same God who carried the Jewish churches through are going to carry you through. How do you know that? Because those churches are in Christ, he says. Other churches have endured. How? They endured because they were in Christ. They didn't find their identity outside of him. They didn't find their identity in being the richest church. They didn't find their identity in being the strongest church. They didn't find their identity in being the most talented people. They didn't find their identity in being the most organized people. They found their identity in one place, and that is Jesus Christ. If churches will endure because they stayed right in the center of Jesus Christ's will. And the church that will, I believe, can endure. Well, how do you know the churches are going to suffer? They're going to suffer because the Bible tells us here in verse number 14, suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us and please not God and are contrary to all men. In other words, he said, I know the church is going to suffer because the prophets suffered. The prophets went through suffering. By the way, Paul says, I know they're going to suffer because I'm going through suffering. Not only that, we're going through suffering because Jesus went through suffering. Did I tell you, if Jesus was not exempt from suffering, if Jesus was not exempt from hardship, if Jesus was not exempt through going through the ups and downs of life, please understand, no believer is exempt. I know what TBN wants you to believe. I know what the radio preacher tells you. I know what the TV evangelist wants you to believe. If you'll send in your $59, you won't get sick all year. They are the spiritual flu vaccine, and they promise you that if you'll send in your $59, you won't get sick. It's baloney. It's garbage. How do you know that? How do I know it? Because Jesus wasn't exempt. Jesus wasn't exempt. Life was hard. Jesus got to the end. They nailed him to a cross. If Jesus was not exempt, please don't believe you are. No, the reality is we don't have to be exempt from hardship to be able to endure. We can endure because Jesus endured. He endured the suffering of Calvary. He endured the loss of of all that was given to him, only to be regained in his resurrection. You see, our hope is not found in avoiding the outcomes of life or the hardship of life. Our glory is in overcoming and enduring the hardship of life in Jesus Christ. You see, the church can endure hardship, and we're gonna pray, and we're gonna get behind this church, and our hearts will be behind them, and there's gonna be this question in the back of our mind: are they gonna make it? Can they endure this? Can they go all the way? Can they make a church out of this thing? And man, it looks like it's gonna be hard. Preacher, what's gonna happen when hardship comes? Can I tell you what's gonna happen? They'll endure. They'll endure. We expect them to endure. You say, how could you ask such a young church to endure hardship? Well, I think the passage tells us we can endure hardship because the gospel still pleases God. If that church still preaches the gospel, I believe God will be pleased with it. Can I tell you, the thing that pleases God, the Father, is the gospel. Did you know that? That pleases the gospel. That pleases our Father. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I think God is more pleased in the gospel than he is even with us as saints. Let me run this one all the way out. I can tell that was real popular. Let me run this all the way out in front of you. I am not pleasing to the Lord. Man, I've tried. I've worked hard. I've dressed myself up. I've gotten all gussied up and cleaned up, clean up the outside, try to look like I fit in. I mean, I almost look like a church folk, you know? I look the part. I can get in there and I can make sure I look so. Can I tell you? That doesn't do anything for my wicked heart. Didn't do a thing for my wicked heart. I played the part for 18 years. You wouldn't have known the difference. I sat in the choir. I sang with the choir. I worked with the kids' choir. I helped in junior church. I had a ministry from the time I was 13 years old. I had a place to serve God in the church, and I served him. I was in my spot. I was faithful. I was on time. I stayed late. I knew my role in the church. I tell you what, I was cleaning up the outside like a nice clean glass. You would have thought, wow, what a good young man. It did nothing for my heart. It wasn't until September 1st, 1999, I realized I had cleaned up the outside of the glass and had never met Jesus Christ as my own Savior. I went to an old-fashioned altar. I got on my knees before God, and I cried out to Jesus Christ. And that moment right there, without my help, Jesus washed me clean, made me right before a holy God. And I tell you today that day right there at September 1st, 1999, it didn't all of a sudden happen. I started pleasing God, but I got a hold of something that does please Jesus. It does please our Father, and that is that Jesus Christ still saves wicked sinners. And I tell you, if that church in Leawood has any hope at all, it'll be that God is still pleased when the gospel reaches the sinner. You see, God's still pleased with the gospel. I believe in that. I believe that they can make it. And I believe a young church can endure because the gospel is still what's best for man. Man may not even want it. Man may reject it. Brother Travis was here about the second week of this month. If you didn't listen to that message, if you weren't here for that, you need to go back and listen to it online. Just go listen to it on our website. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Brother Travis came and preached, and man, he came to this point and brought us to this reality in his own experiences and through the Word of God that man doesn't want the gospel. They don't want it. But can I tell you, it's still their number one need. Even if man rejects the gospel every time they're given a chance, it is still the greatest need of man. I've said it before. I still believe it. I said it within 6 months of being the pastor of this church. I said, the greatest need of man is not a bowl of hot soup. The greatest need of man is the life transformation that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I still believe that. And I tell you today, if we have any hope of watching a church endure in Leawood, Kansas, it will not be because of the size of their facilities. It will be because man still needs the gospel. And when man comes in contact with the gospel, he is coming in contact with that which is best for him. It is the best thing we can do for them. By the way, the gospel is still curing wrath. Gospel is still in the business of curing God's wrath. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 15. who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and persecuted us and pleased not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin all way, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Can I tell you, if we want to avoid the wrath that is coming upon the enemy of God, if we want to avoid that wrath, the greatest cure is still the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the gospel. Why are we going to Leawood? Because there's lost people there. I mean, that's it. There's not like a four-point bulleted plan here. Why are we going to Leawood? Because lost people need saved. And I believe they live in the zip code, which is Leawood. I believe they're there. Well, why this particular city? Because they need the gospel. Because there's lost people that need salvation. Preacher, you know there's other churches in Kansas City? Of course I know there's other churches in Kansas City. Do you know how many other churches they need in Kansas City? Probably 30 more. I'm serious. Not one of those churches is running 2 million people. Not one of them. If you add all the numbers together, it's not 2 million. Which means there are still people out there in Kansas City who need the gospel of Jesus Christ and a church to call their own. And I believe that God has called South Knollwood Baptist Church to plant a church, and I'm expecting he'll get it done. I'm expecting it will endure. It will endure through hardship. You know that church is also going to endure. It's going to endure. We can expect them to endure through loneliness. Now, by the way, we're part of keeping them from getting too lonely. But at some point, the church is going to have to go through loneliness. It's going to have to go to the feeling where it says, man, I feel like I am all by myself here. I have no hope outside of me. It's just me all by myself. This little church out here fledgling all by itself. And they're wondering, does anybody even remember I'm out here? They're going to feel like that patient that went to the doctor. And the doctor says to him, now, sir, you've got a rare disease. It's very contagious. In fact, we're going to put you in a cell all by yourself. And you're going to be all by yourself in this cell. And you're going to eat pancakes and pizza for the next 4 weeks. He said, pancakes and pizza? Is that what will cure me? He says, no, but that's the only thing that'll slide under the door to you. Sometimes we're going to feel lonely like that. We're going to feel like God put us out someplace by ourselves. The only thing he's left to feed us is what he can slide under the door to us. The truth is that sometimes we feel that same loneliness, don't we? I'll be real honest with you. That is a myth. Loneliness is a myth. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you believe you are alone, you have bought into the myth of loneliness. It's a myth. Well, how do you know it's a myth? Because Jesus made a promise. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you, was our Father's promise. Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter that he might be with you. Listen to me, church. It is a myth that we ever get lonely. It is a myth that we allow and we let Satan tell us. We let our enemy tell us, you're all by yourself. You're all alone. If they really cared, they'd call. If they really cared, they'd email. If they were really, really with you, they would do this or they would do that. Listen to me. We're not your Savior. You have one Savior and he has never left you. We cannot buy into the myth of loneliness. Don't do it. Satan wants to use it to cripple your walk with him. And there are churches that quit. There are people who quit serving God because they have bought into the myth of loneliness. See, we're not alone. We are not alone. You can look around you and nobody is beside you on either side. No one is in front. No one is behind. But I tell you, it is a myth that we are alone. And we may not be there every time their church doors open. But I love what Paul does here. I want you to see it in verse number 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time. Listen to me. Anything that happens in this life is a short time. It's like, I'm all by myself. I've been alone for a whole week. That's 7 days. Like, that's not even all that long. A whole month, that's 30 days. You could hold your breath for 30 days. Come on. Why wouldn't we endure? Why couldn't we continue? Oh, I just felt all alone. I felt lonely. I understand what you felt, but you bought a myth. No matter what you endure, if you endured an entire lifetime of being completely and utterly alone, what is it, 80 years? 80? 100? 100 years all by yourself. Eternity lasts forever. We'll have forgotten in 100 years what it felt like to be alone. But we buy into the myth. Paul says, no, no, you may feel alone, but it's short time. That's a little bit of time. It's not a huge period of time. Let's look at this in perspective, Paul is saying. Remember the perspective here. It may feel alone right now, but that doesn't mean you have to quit. That doesn't mean you can't endure. You can do it. But then also this, watch what he says. He says, and have endeavored, the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Can I tell you here in this passage, he makes so clear to us, and I love this. He says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, watch, in presence. Yeah, I might not be with you right now, but watch what is there. Not in heart. Sure, I'm not with you right now in presence, but I am in heart. You see, we don't give each other credit for that, do we? We don't like giving each other credit for this. You know, I have somebody who's in the hospital and I'll go see them and say, preacher, I wish I could be there. Man, I wish I could be there. We want to be there. And I'll tell them, I know where you're at in your heart. I know where you want to be in your heart. Now, don't give me that lame excuse. Well, preacher, I stayed and watched the football game, but I was with you in heart. No, you weren't. Stinking baloney. Well, the best things that ever happened to us was losing, so we didn't go to the Super Bowl. Can you imagine how much? I would hate to have had to question your salvation for not showing up because of a Super Bowl game. Good night. I'm with you in heart, preacher. No, you're not. There's somebody in the hospital. We think of, look, I'm going to be thinking of you today. I'm going to be praying for you today. I'm with you in heart. We don't give each other credit for that. Yeah, some popular author wrote years ago, he's a preacher trying to tell preachers how to run a church, and he wrote it as a purpose-driven church, and he said, being there in heart doesn't count. Being in heart doesn't count. He never read Paul. Paul says this three times in his letters. I'm with you in heart. You're with me in heart. I'm with you in heart. He says it over and over again. Why does he say that? Because there's something about being connected in our purpose. There's something about being connected in our desire. There's something about being connected in our vision. There's something about being connected in our focus that I can suffer over here, you can suffer over here, and we may not even see each other, but we're suffering together. I may be rejoicing over here, you're rejoicing over here. We may not be in each other's presence, but we're rejoicing together. Boy, there's something about that first time we hear somebody get saved in Leawood, Kansas, and they're going to be cheering and rejoicing over there. We're going to be cheering and rejoicing over here. There's going to be angels cheering and rejoicing in heaven. Let me tell you, we're doing it together. Amen. Why is it? Because in heart matters. It counts, for crying out loud. It counts that you have church, you have family here at South Knollwood that thinks about you and prays for you. You say, well, I wish somebody was here with me. I can't help that nobody is here with me. They're with you. They're with you in heart, for crying out loud. Yes, I think we ought to go out of our way to show love and encouragement and bless one another. But please know that just because you seem to be alone in the moment is not a time to let Satan make you quit. Endure. That church is going to endure. They may feel completely alone, but that's just a myth, and it's a short time. And we're with them in their heart. So we recognize that this is just a myth. We expect them to make through hardship. We expect them to make it through loneliness. We expect them to endure through the work of the enemy. And our enemy is going to fight, isn't he? He is going to fight Leawood. Can I tell you this? Church planting is a declaration of war. All right? It's a declaration of war. We've laid hands and prayed on the drinkards over here, and we prayed God would do something through them, that he'd plant a church through them. They went off on deputation. All of this has been building for war. We're going to show up on Leawood, who formerly had belonged to our enemy, and we're going to start taking ground for the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, Satan is not sitting back saying, well, that's a bummer. No. Our master enemy has a master plan. The problem is, it's just not good enough. And he doesn't know it, and we'll have to teach it to him. But when Knollwood's still pushing, when he's ready to quit, I'll tell you, he'll learn. South Knollwood got behind God's plan, and God will allow us to endure. There really is only one plan, God's plan. And when we're in God's plan, when we're doing it God's way, our enemy can't stop it. Our enemy will try, but he cannot stop what God makes happen. I tell you, church, our enemy may have a plan, and he may desire to take this church out. He may desire to end Leawood even before it starts. But I want you to understand, Satan is limited in what he can do. He's limited in what he can do. Think of Nehemiah. I think of the man Nehemiah in the book named after him. He had in his heart to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. He prayed and fasted. He confessed his sins. He risked his life. He gathered people together to help. He inspected the situation and went forward to do God's will. He put the wall together one brick at a time. They cleaned off the areas that had been burned down and removed the broken wood and stacked up fresh stone. And the job just continued and continued and continued and continued. And day after day for 52 days, men would build it. In fact, it was in such a bad opposition, they would build. One soldier would build with his hand while the other soldier stood there with a sword. They would have in one hand, they would have a sword. In the other hand, they would have a torch. And they just built and they built and they built. But they never, in all their building, they never stopped being prepared for war. I believe that's going to be the way South Knollwood has to build this one. I believe if we're going to make it, we're going to be as a church who recognizes the war. We didn't get lax. We didn't get lazy. We didn't take our eye off the ball. There's a church to be planted. And we were building with one hand and sword in the other. A church that's ready to do battle with Satan, ready to come at him with the word of God, ready to recognize that he's going to try to tempt you to do things in ways you've never done them before. He's going to try to tempt you. He's going to try to break your marriage up. He is going to try to break your dedication. He's going to try to break your understanding of God's word. He's going to try to make you question whether or not he loves you. He's going to try to tear you apart. And you're going to have to be ready to endure and keep building. Well, preacher, are we going to have, we just need to come together some Sunday night and let's just all get together and we'll just cry. If we could just get together once a month and just cry, I think we could make it. No. No, no tears in war, all right? None. Okay, maybe some. But no, we don't need to get together and hold each other and cry in each other's arms. We're victors, for crying out loud. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. And the moment we stop seeing each other as victims in Satan's big plan, the quicker we get to where we recognize that we're not getting whipped and beat up by Satan around here, and that we are the conquerors, and we're just marching in and taking what is rightfully Christ, and he is worthy of his name being proclaimed in Leawood, I think the quicker we'll find God just gets behind and just does his work. I really believe that. I believe South Knollwood doesn't need to go over there and sheepishly walk in and hope Satan doesn't figure it out. Satan knows. We've been blaring the bugle for a long time. The truth is we want what he has. More importantly, our Savior wants us to have it back. He wants us to have that family that's sitting in Leawood today, more worried about the money coming in than where their soul will go when they die. And God wants that family. He wants those children. We don't even know. Listen to me. I think in Leawood this morning, there's some family woke up, they had their coffee, they read the paper, they went on business as usual. They just went on their normal day, and in a year, their family's going to be getting up early, getting the kids together with their Sunday school papers, have a little breakfast together, and they'll be heading over to Leawood. They're going to go to that little Baptist church there. They're going to sing songs, and they're going to praise God's name, and they're going to join together with other families who got up and drank their coffee and did business as usual today. And these families whose lives were heading in completely different directions in unity with South Knollwood are going to be heading to a path that loves, that adores Jesus Christ and honors him with everything they've got. And I tell you, we may not see him there ourselves with our eye, but we'll be together in heart. I'm telling you, we want something as Satan has. We're not taking it with a treaty, and we're not going to take it because we talked him into it. This is war. Church planning is a declaration of war. You say, I don't want to get involved in that. I didn't get saved, get involved in a war. My friend, you got enlisted the day you got saved. You've had a bullseye on you the moment you prayed and received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Satan may not be able to take your salvation away, but he's after you. He wants your joy. He wants your purpose. He wants your vision. He wants your children. He wants everything about you. If he can't have you for himself, he'll make it hell on earth for you. That's what he wants. He wants you to have nothing to have real joy in. The fact that we've endured to this point reminds me that little church in Leawood can endure. That's what we expect. By the way, think of what Satan can do. I don't want to divorce ourselves from the text. Look with me in verse number 18. Wherefore I would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. There he is, isn't he? Satan can't defeat us. He can hinder us. He can tempt us. He can accuse us. He can lie about us. But he cannot overcome us. Whether he beats us or not will be determined on whether or not we let him overcome us. But we've talked about what we expect. What I as a pastor expect from Leawood. What you as a church could expect from Leawood. But I think it only fair we discuss what they expect from us. What does Leawood have a right to expect from Knollwood? The same. The same. That little church in Leawood has every right to expect from this church in Topeka that its members endure even when it gets hard. Oh, preacher, you just don't know how hard it's been. You just don't understand how hard it's been. You don't have to compare your hardness to me. I don't have to go through what you've gone through to understand hardship. Compare your hardness to the cross. You say, well, I think this problem is even bigger than the cross. Maybe if they had hung just any normal human up there, yeah. But he's the God of the universe, and they hung him on the cross. And suffering from someone who should have been exempt from suffering, that's an entirely different thing than you going through suffering. No. We can't understand the humiliation Jesus went through. We can't understand it because we are not God. We're just humans. And life's rough. He chose this one. We didn't. I'm going through hardship, preacher. Then don't quit. Endure. But preacher, it's been so hard, and I don't know if I can make it. I just don't know if I can make it. Listen, church, endure. Endure. It's a short time. If you endure for the next 20 years, if you endure for 30 years, eternity will wash it away. Just keep your eyes on eternity. Don't wander away from Jesus. There's too much to be gained. Don't wander away from faith. There's too much to be lost. Church, endure. Endure. Don't stop. Don't back up. Don't quit. We've watched this. We've watched this path trodden by many, 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 many who had claimed the name of Jesus. They claimed his name. They put their hand on the plow and looked back. Do not stop enduring. Don't do it. They should expect the church to do the same. They should expect South Knollwood Baptist Church would have members who endured even when hardship came. We as a church, they should be able to expect that we would endure even when we're lonely. Preacher, sometimes I feel like I'm the only one going through this. Well, first, that's a myth. You're not the only one going through it. And by the way, this is what Satan likes to do. He likes to isolate us. He isolates us. I'm the only one that knows what it's like to need money right now. Are you really? Are you really the only one? Are you really the only one who's got to go out and get more? Are you really the only one who's got to go through that hardship alone? Are you really the only one who's ever gone through this sickness? Are you really the only one who's that? Are you really? Because the truth is we're not. And frankly, the body is full of people. People who love you and would love to spend time with you and love to talk with you about it. You say, well, that particular person doesn't understand what I'm going through. I know. And what's beautiful is we're not a body made up of one person. This church isn't built on one guy. It's a body of people who go through the same things that others go through, and we encourage one another, and we bless one another, and we build one another, and we make sure that we're there for one another. So maybe don't let him isolate you. Instead, get back in the body and find somebody who's going through the same junk you're going through and build a friendship that you've never had before. But don't let him isolate you. Because the Bible should, I mean, that church in Leawood should be able to expect that South Knollwood would endure loneliness. That we would endure the attacks of Satan. Satan's come after us. And if we're not careful, he would love to end this church. Why? Because right now, he gets two. If he can kill this one, then he never has to worry about fighting in Leawood. Boy, if I can wait until they get ready to go that first Sunday, man, they have that first Sunday, they're going to be rejoicing, they're going to have a great time, and I'm going to nail them. And if I can take out the mother church, I'm going to get both of them. I'll get both of them at one time. Church, we can't let him do that. What's beautiful is we don't have to let him do that. We don't. We can choose to win. As your pastor, I say we win. And I say we get both. And now we've got two fires for him to try to put out. Church, what's awesome. So one day we're going to look in Leawood. We're going to be driving, maybe for work, or you're going to be with a family in Kansas City, and you're going to be driving down a block, and you're going to see that church that's planted there. There's going to be this sense of accomplishment, this sense, this feeling of God's power over hardship, his power, his intensity over loneliness, his ability to overcome the wicked one. And you're going to stand there seeing that testament to God's greatness. And we're going to recognize and endure not because of anything else than Jesus was enough. And the only reason they endured is because they could look to Knollwood and expect our church to endure.